Not a second to waste. Mike Cabas, Congressman, on the other line. Mike, morning.
Hi, Tom.
How are you, buddy?
Morning. I'm all right. It's, this is just kind of rough time in this United States.
All right. Tell me about your personal experience Wednesday in the Capitol while you were there.
Okay. Well, first off, let me tell you what went really, really well the night before, because that was the Republican conference where even differing opinions on, okay, what do we do with these states and what does the Constitution actually say? And it was about a 2.5-3 hours, started in prayer, ended in prayer. People were on different sides of the issue. And so I thought, okay, this is good. So, we knew we didn't have the votes to overturn election, but we wanted to send those of us that signed on. We have a constitutional duty, and we believe what we interpreted the Constitution. There were constitutional scholars that took my position. As it is, we ended up voting on only two because of what broke out. So what broke out, we had heard and we were warned early in the morning, but it was like any other protest, and they happen all the time around here, Tom. And we kind of watched everything that was going on. We weren't scheduled to vote until 1 o'clock. The crowds were on the mall, and so went into the chamber. There was, after the forming up of the two bodies together, the vice president took the chamber. We went through until we got to Arizona. Arizona was contested. The speaker made an announcement that we were only supposed to have 11 on the floor. Several of them said they were going to stay, and that kind of turned into a little bit of an argument, not bad. But at any rate, so I go over to my office. I'm watching on the television, and the debate is beginning. But I'm hearing a little bit of ruckus outside, but it's away from me. So I go down along with my staff, and this is a little after 1 or thereabouts, and I step out the front door of the Longworth building, and there's 4 police officers that are there working the guard every day. And I start to step out, and they said, "Congressman, we're not letting anybody go across the street. You have to use the tunnel." I said, "I'm not going across the street. I'm just kind of checking things out here." And it was right then that I heard over the radio, "We're being overrun. Need help. We need help." And then from the front of the Capitol, facing the mall, which is away from my building, we heard a riot bomb flash draw people back. And so I looked at the guard and I said, "Bagel, get in your office." And I said, "Okay, so fine." We went up and we spent the rest of the day in the office watching the events unfold until we were able to go back and make the votes later on in the evening.
Do you feel the president incited what happened on Wednesday?
I think it's a whole lot of things. I don't think it's the president. I think the president, he has words that are harsher than a lot of people. I think that there is some intention of different groups when I saw what I saw. But let me explain this, that no one, and when I hear them people say that it's people's house, yes, it's all the taxpayers' people's house. So, and that doesn't give you the right to go in and destroy the house. And that is the problem that happened here. That was an overstep. Remember, since 1812, and the last people that did it was the British, that capital has not been breached and not been had damage like what they did there the other day. Do not and will not condone that. I did ask early on for the president to come out to calm them down. He did come out and tried to speak in that way. The frustration that you feel, though, because there's so many other factors with social media, and trying to find truth in that is a challenge, and this is causing a rip in our nation. And it is the things that I saw prior to Trump that now have escalated during the time of this presidency because the sides are spreading so far. And the thing is, each person can seek out on the social medias their own truth. And once you have whoever that can seek out their own truth and then not know whether it is truth or not, and you have two heated sides like this, it is very, very scary for this nation.
All right, let's talk about the scary aspect for a moment. There are groups now who very much would like you to, for lack of a better word, make you pay for your support for President Trump.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, but that's been from the very beginning. You know, we had that. You know, the thing is, that is a question where they wanted me to question an election then. The Democrats questioned an election, actually, with less constitutional focus than what we did the other day. But the electorate as whole is concerned about the elections because, yes, it is the state's ability to, and I agree with that, to work the elections. Whatever election they put together must follow the Constitution.
All right, then, Mike. Let me ask you this then, Mike. Did the Democrats commit fraud to steal the presidency of the United States, in your opinion?
I believe that there were, and let me tell you why I made the vote the way I did. I believe that there were five states. There were five states, and those five states that had problems with the constitutionality of what they did. On fraud, myself, I believe there was fraud. I come from Illinois. I know where fraud exists. I believe there was fraud. That being said, was it enough to overturn the election? I don't know, but that fraud is not decided by members of Congress. That would be handled in the courts. The courts chose not to handle it. There were 60 cases that were presented by the president, and they chose not to handle it. People say, well, the courts ruled. No, the court didn't rule. The courts chose not to take them up, and that's what you need to be clear on. So what our job in the House was to, when the delegates came forward, was to say, We can't decide fraud. That's not our job. But we could and did know that there were five states, two that we voted on, because no one would take up in the Senate to after the riots to pick up the other three. But there were two that we voted on. And the reality is that the Constitution is very clear that the state legislators must approve and decide how election law is ran. Of the states that were in question, it was either governors, courts, or secretaries of state, and or election bodies that had not been given that authority by the state legislatures to move forward with changing dates, times. Now, and understand this, the Constitution says that the state legislatures will set it. It doesn't say unless there's an extenuating circumstance. Everybody claims, well, but it was a pandemic. Well, people have to be able to trust the electorate to know that the election cycles were held correctly. If the state legislature passes the law and then makes sure that law is overseen, then that's a legitimate count. That is where I believe our forefathers, and when I said this wasn't taken lightly. We spent days looking and trying to figure out, okay, the words say this, and they wouldn't just give it a rubber stamp because the founding fathers never did that. There was a reason they put those words in there. And so as we move forward, it is truly that was where I based my vote. As far as fraud, that's up to the courts to decide and to time to decide and people to decide.
Mike, you talked about five states that were in this, and let's talk about Georgia in the Senate runoff. One of our listeners is saying, look, if fraud happened, did it happen in Georgia, and did it happen again during the Senate in the two Senate race runoffs on Tuesday?
And that, I don't know. I don't know. That is up to the state legislature of Georgia to make those decisions on whether they had fraud, and if they take it to the courts take it up, and or they have a legitimate concern that come to the federal courts. Because remember, it is still the power of the state legislatures to run their own election. But it has to be the state legislatures. That's what the Constitution says.
Mike, what have you learned? Usually I find whenever I've gone through something exceedingly difficult, I learn something. Some fiber is added to my soul, my conscience. What have you learned?
One, I really have went into deep study. You know, remember, I've said this before, that you remember that the Constitution is the most quoted, least read document that it is in D.C. So you trust, you know, you find those minds that have studied it for years. I do truly understand this issue now and why it is that I voted the way I did. Because not normally do you get put in a situation like this. But also, let me tell you that the other things that I've learned is that we have a very, very fragile democracy. And when Ben Franklin was asked by the woman on the street, the stories we've told of Mr. Franklin, what type of government do we have? We have a constitutional republic, if we can keep it.
All right. Now,
right now, we as American people need to decide how we got to get back together and not fight among ourselves. When we attack those institutions that our forefathers put in place with the idea that, oh, yes, we can just storm it and shut things down of our operation of our constitutional directed republic, then whether you're on the right or whether you're on the left, this is not the way we handle it in the United States.
Congressman, is there anything else you want to talk about that's happened this week? Because you and I had spoke last weekend.
Yeah.
And I'm running out of time here, and that's my concern because this is a long subject, right? Is that there's a lot of when there's smoke, I look to see what's behind it. And this was something that was going on, and there were some really interesting rule changes proposed in the House. We've got about 30, 40 seconds. I don't know if you could.
Let me say there are rule changes that we have never seen, and that's a real problem. The rule changes, if you remember, whenever I got upset in the state of Illinois, that's what the concern is they're using these rules in a way that is not used properly, and it's trying to hold on to power.
Basically, the
biggest problem is the overriding of what is known as the motion to recommit, which has been in existence since our Congress was first formed. And then it's been in the state it's been for 120 years. They're changing it to where they make it to where the voice of the minority is not present. It doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democrat. The voice of the minority is not able to be present.
And if you criticize somebody on the floor, you can be charged with an ethics violation?
Oh, if you not if you just criticize. You can criticize, or if you misuse a gender, what someone might feel is a misuse of a gender or a slang. If you missay a word that they feel isn't appropriate for debate today, then they can charge you with an ethic violation.
That strikes at
the First Amendment right.
If Joe Smith fathered this bill on new restraints on financial reactions, and you used the word fathered that bill, you could say they created an ethics violation.
Yeah, you were an ethics violation because you were gender specific.